Exodus 14. We began a couple weeks ago and looking at, I titled it, What Side of the Sea Are You On? And we all face these challenges and thinking about some of this. So we face a dilemma or a problem or a challenge in our lives. We all do. We have an opportunity either to trust God and let Him work and bring glory to Him, or we can begin to fret, fear, complain, and all of that. And it takes a true, mature child of God to take time to stop, as Moses said, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of God, and trust Him. But notice, again, as we read a couple weeks ago, Exodus 14, and we saw how that they came to the sea. Notice verse 13, just to read again. He said, Moses said unto the people, fear not, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And you see here as we begin again or continue here, that God desires for us, number one, to see the power of God in our lives. It's so rare that we get to see the power of God in our lives. We'll see Him and He blesses our lives so often, but the true power of God. And Adoniram Judson was a great missionary for many decades, primarily back in the 19th century or so. But he made a statement and he said, attempt great things for God. Take time, attempt it, right? Trust Him, believe, and attempt great things for God. And then he says, expect great things from Him as well. And so we see God desires for us to see His power. Notice, the Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. One of the wonderful things about being a Christian is that God fights for us. God handles our battles, doesn't He? God takes care of these enemies in our lives. If we'll take time to stop, be patient, and trust Him, He'll take care of our enemies, won't He? He'll take care of our problems. If you're like me, I like to rush to judgment sometimes, or I like to rush ahead and go ahead and handle the situation myself, and I often shoot myself in the foot, and I get myself in trouble, and I don't do what I should be, and I'm not a good testimony all the time in these circumstances where I could have let God be God in my life. And so thinking about that, he says, notice, the power of God revealed. He says in Isaiah chapter 40, he says that I will show myself strong. You know that. I'll bring forth the power. He says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard of God? So many people today just don't know God. And they're looking maybe to you or through your life to see who God is. They've never opened up this Bible, or they rarely open it up and read it. And so they're looking for an example. They're looking for someone to show forth the power of God in their lives. Notice verse 16, he says, but lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, just a reminder, that rod that Moses had, he had most of his career, if you will, or ministry with God. You remember back when he saw the burning bush, he said, Lord, I can't do that. I don't speak well. I'm not good at all of that. And what does the Lord say, or God say? He says, what's in thine hand? He says, well, this old staff, this stick that I use for the sheep. Yeah, what's in your hand? Okay. He tells him what? Throw it down. It turns into a snake. He says, pick up the snake. I would have trouble with that one, wouldn't you? He grabbed it by the tail and it turned back into a rod. But you think about, he uses this rod later on to divide the sea and deliver the nation of Israel. Now, you know, as he's in Egypt as well, he uses his rod several times to perform some of those miracles, doesn't he? But you think about today, God wants to show himself strong through your life, but also he wants to use what you have for his glory and for his power. We say, well, I'm not nothing. I can't do anything well. I'm not talented. I can't do anything powerful like that. God wouldn't use me. Yes, he would. What's in your hand? He wants to use what you have. Your talents or lack thereof. Yes, your abilities or lack thereof. He desires to do that and use that. And we have to say, as Romans 12, we say and read it often. But Paul comes to the church at Rome there. And he says what? He says, present your body a living sacrifice. That's all he says. Nothing special, no special talent, no special tools, just what you have, your body, what you have. God says, what's in your hand? Now he says to Moses here, lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand. Now you think this is a little bit dramatic, don't you? God could have just parted the sea. A little dramatic, you know, we've seen all the movies come out of Moses and he lifts, and he does this great and grand thing like this and it parts, you know. God can do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't need us, but he desires to use us. And Paul says this later to the church at Corinth. Why would God choose to use this fallible vessel like me? My body, I'm not good at this. I do mess up a lot. I do have bad times. I'm not always a good testimony. On and on we could go. God desires to use us for some reason, doesn't he? Isn't that a wonderful thing, though? Praise God, he wants to use you and me again for his glory, to show his power on the unbelieving world. Now, notice that. What's in your hand? What is God working in your life right now for you to do? What do you have? What talent do you have? What ability do you have that other people don't? You may say, I don't know what it would be. But you know in your heart, you say, you know what? I have this ability. I know those people don't have it. What could I do? How could I give? How can I minister? How can I bless? The power of God, power of God. As we think about this, I like this quote, if Satan can keep us ignorant of the Bible, he can keep us ineffective, can he? If he can keep us out of the Bible, not knowing the Word of God. Now, again, Moses knew the Word of God. Moses knew what God wanted him to do. God spoke directly to Moses. Now, he's not going to speak directly to us today. He speaks to us through the Word of God, and we know that. But he wants to direct us and use us and make us effective tools in his ministry, doesn't he? Effective tools. Moses knew what God was doing and he knew what God wanted him to do. We know that because he says in verse 13, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of God. Where did he get that from? He got that prior, as you recall, with God, spending time with God. And we need to know the Word of God in order to be effective with this world and be able to power through, if you will, the power of God in our lives. The power of God. Knowing the Word, understanding what He wants us to do. I like this story, the story of a man and wife. They bought their first car back in 1925. And when the first vehicles started coming out, you know that. They got their new car and the man went in and he started looking it over and he turned the key and the engine fired up. Sputtering and spitting and they never heard or even seen something like this. They were used to the horse and buggy and all of that. They'd never been around a car much, and the wife especially. And the wife began to tremble with fear, and she was very scared. She said, honey, why is it making that noise? And what's all that smoke coming out the back for? What are we supposed to do? She was going on and on. And the husband asked her, what's wrong? You know that. She said, well, I don't know what this is about, blah, blah, blah. I'm real scared. The husband replied and he said, no, this is normal, honey. This is how it runs. This is what it's supposed to do. And she said, yeah, how do you know? He said, oh, I read the manual. I read the manual. This is what it's supposed to do. And you think about today, so many believers don't know what's going on around them, don't know what's happening, don't understand when you come to the sea in front of you and Pharaoh's army behind you and you go, what do I do? God, you're leaving me high and dry. You put me in a rock and a hard place, and all I've done, Lord, is serve you and been so faithful and take it. Right? Don't we do that sometimes? I do that. No, we say, I've read the manual. God warned me that these things will come, and God told me that this will happen. You and I need to be prepared. As that great missionary Judson said, attempt great things for God. How do I do that? We've got to know the Word of God. We've got to understand that. Thinking about some of these things. We know that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. We need to understand and know the Word of God. Anyways, they continue on. Verse 18, notice, and the Egyptians shall know, notice, that I am what? The Lord, capital L-O-R-D. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, we read this last week, but as you recall, we know that there was a pillar of smoke, if you will, or a cloud between them. God took care of them and protected them and gave them the distance they needed, gave them the time, all of that that they needed. God knows again where you are. God's hand, as we said last week, is on what? It's on the thermostat. He's working. He knows how much you can handle. He won't push you ahead. He's not going to take and dangle the carrot in front of you, put you out on the edge and say, well, let's see if he slips and falls, or let's see if he doesn't. That's not God. God is in control. And so when you get to a place like that and feel like, oh, I can't, I don't know what to do, I don't know how much further I can go, no, God is still there. And he knows what you can handle. Notice verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go, notice, back by a strong east wind all that night. We have an east wind out here constantly, don't we? Seems like, I don't know if it's west or east, but go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea, notice, dry land, and the waters were divided. God not only provided a route for them to go through, but he also, out of his goodness, provided a little bit of a luxury. That would have been the most muddy, mucky route to take, wouldn't it? But he says, no, I'll go ahead and dry it up for you. I'll go ahead and make it a little bit easier for you. And do you know when we trust God in the initial steps of maybe the issue in our life or problem or the whatever it is, he'll take care of us a little bit more than usual. He'll provide a little bit more than that and some of the fears. You can imagine the men in the back. Well, yeah, the sea will part, but it's going to be muddy. How are we going to get through that? People like that. They have that kind of mindset. They're always thinking ahead, which we like. But God said, I'll take care of that. I'll provide you a way. And some of the little details that we begin to worry about and fear, yeah, Lord, I know we can pay this off this month, but what about the other thing next month? What about this and that? If we'll trust God with this step by step, as we said last week, or the week before, excuse me, that God says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. The lamp just shines maybe about a foot, maybe 2 feet in front of you to give you a step. The next step. Isn't it like that sometimes? Your days, it's just, if I can just take one more step, if I can just take another step, I can be fine. And you think about God provides the way. I love that as we think about it. So they go across the dry land. You know that. And the Egyptians pursued, verse 23, and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen. Now this, from their view, seems like God is not providing. They're coming down after them into the sea. Well, I thought God was going to take care of them. I guess not. He's going to let them chase us all the way up here on the other side of the mountain. He's probably bringing us onto the other side so he can kill us on that side. Isn't that the Christians we are sometimes? He's probably bringing us over here. Yeah, he'll take care of that need. And hasn't God taken care of you in the past? Yeah, but I don't know about tomorrow. Didn't he provide for you and pay off your debt on that side? Yeah, but I don't know about today. Didn't he provide for your children and take care of them? Yeah, but... And it chased them. They came down. Notice... And it came to pass that in the morning, verse 24, the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire. Notice this. And of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. The unbelieving world realizes and sees and notices that God is fighting for you. You don't have to stand up and say, hey, don't say that, don't do that. I'm going to let you have it. We're going to have a problem on our hands. What do? They see, man, God's working for them. God is fighting for them. And it's repeated throughout Scripture that God fights for his people. He fights for them. Now, he allows them to get just right down into the middle of that sea before he closes the waters on them. Now, from our point of view, we see God was supposed to take care of that, but he's not taking care of it. He's allowing it to happen. It gets real close, so we get real nervous. But God is positioning us. God's timing is perfect, isn't it? And he's allowing them to get just strategically positioned so that he can take care of it, can he? And we have to realize and understand something. There's something repeated at least 3 times in the New Testament, and it's called due time. In due time. In God's timing. That means God's timing. That's not our timing. Our timing is now. I want it here and I want it now. I want it my way. God says maybe not. And we need to trust God even when it gets real tight, even when it gets real right on the edge. Lord, I can't handle anymore. I can't go one more day. I can't deal with this person one more minute. We trust God and we say, God, I know you're strategically positioning my life and you're working. Notice that. Not only did he put them in position, but it says, verse 25, took off the chariot wheels. They drave them heavily. That means the wheels came off and they kept beating the horse, whipping the horses. Go, anyways, keep going. And it's just dragging that chariot. Just dragging. Drave them heavily. The Egyptians said, let us flee. I mean, they had enough horse sense about them to say, let's get out of here, man. This is not working. And you can imagine thousands of them turned around and tried to go back, but it was too late. Now you think about this. God is a gracious God. God is a mighty God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there comes a point when a man and a woman reject God so many times, God has to say, enough is enough. And we see that. People say, well, God is so harsh. God didn't give them a chance. Yes, He did give them a chance. He gave them an opportunity. And we see that throughout history. We won't get into that. But notice the limitless power of God. Notice the stamina, if you will, of His strength. All these things. Not only the power of God, but let me say secondly here, that we're to show forth the provisions of God in our lives. The provisions of God. Now through the next couple of verses, Moses comes and he stretched forth his hands again and the sea closes on them. The waters returned, verse 28, covered the chariots, the horsemen, all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea. There remained not so much as one of them. The children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Can you imagine that? They're standing on the seashore on the other side, and washing up on the shore are the chariots and the horses and the men. And it was just a picture that God is in control. Listen, today the world's a mess. There's turmoil all around us. There's potential to have cancer. There's potential to lose a loved one. All of this. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, but you need to know one thing, God's in control. And that lets you rest at night, doesn't it? Lets you put your head down your pillow at night. No more fears and worries. No more trepidation about things. You know God's in control. You know God's best interests are in mind when He works and deals with you. But notice the provisions of God. God provided all that they needed. All that they needed. Verse 30, they came out on dry ground. On dry ground. Now you and I understand that just a couple things here and we'll wrap it up. But the provisions of God. God desires to provide for us. Not only to show Himself strong, but to bless us too, doesn't He? To bless us. And don't be looking at other people and saying, well, they have all these things and I don't. No, God put you there for a reason. God puts you in that position for a reason. People have more money than you do, maybe. Or people have a better family life than you do. Or they grew up with a better home life than you had. Whatever the case is. And those things the adversary tries to get us, doesn't he? Discourage us with. Well, I wonder why God didn't bless you there. No, know this and realize that God has you placed right here, right now, for a special reason. And He will provide everything you need to fulfill His will. Let me say that again. He'll provide everything you need to fulfill His will. If you're not walking in the will of God today, that's your fault. It's not because of the lack of provisions from God. Well, I would walk in God's will, but He didn't provide that. No. No. God is working. And if you ask and wait, notice this, He will provide. He will provide. All power is given unto me, therefore go. Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me, Jesus says. We have a God that's all powerful. The power, the provisions. But notice lastly here, the position of man. The position of man. We already mentioned this, but man is fickle. Man is failing. Man is fallible. All the words we could use. And we understand that. And so we're not going to be completely without sin. We know that. We are not sinless. We are to work and strive every day to keep our eyes. Hebrews 12, he says, keep your eyes on Jesus, running your race before you, laying aside the weights and sin that doth so easily beset us. We're to strive for that sanctification, if you will, daily working for that. As we see man complain, man bemoan. Notice chapter 15, the next chapter. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. Hang on a second. Now, Moses, I can understand. He's singing. He has every right to sing. But all the children, that means everybody. That was just a chapter before, complaining and whining. The ladies were crying. The kids were fearful. The men were begging. Can we just go back, Moses? Why did you? We told you not to bring us out here. We told you we shouldn't do this. If God's will was just peachy keen and a bed of roses and no problem, everyone would be doing it. But why is it that so many people are not walking and living in the will of God? Because it's difficult, isn't it? And it takes a spiritually mature person to walk. Now, and if God can't trust you with the little things, He's not going to trust you with the bigger things. God's desiring, as we've read before, to what? Use us as soldiers of God, man. And the promise that's given. But he goes on and they sing this wonderful song. I won't read the whole thing. I encourage you to read it on your own because it's so encouraging. It's very wonderful. A wonderful song. He goes on, they go on for many verses and talking about all of what God has done. And it says in verse 20, Miriam took timbrel in her hand and the women went out and they danced and they sang. Sing ye to the Lord, for he's triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, notice, and found no water. Here we go. Here we go again. So they just got done singing a little ditty, doing a little song and dance, doing their little Cotton Eye Joe or whatever they, it was called something else in Hebrew, but because something else, and they're doing a great thing. Isn't that just like us, though? I think I should say me. Oh, God, yes, you answered my prayer. Thank you for getting me out of that problem. Oh, I love you, Lord. You're so great, gracious. And then here comes another problem. Oh, Lord, I thought we just had a breakthrough, Lord. I thought we just had a real breakthrough in our relationship here. What is he doing? He's constantly working to mature me and develop me and sharpen me. Iron sharpeneth iron, doesn't it? And you think about this, he's working, but there's the promise to the patient. Now, there were people that did stay with Moses and did not complain and did keep going. We know one individual by the name of Joshua, and Joshua was Moses' literal right hand. He was kind of his assistant, if you will. And he was up there in the mount, and he was at the bottom there as Moses was up in the mount. There was Joshua down at the bottom waiting for Moses, and all the nation of Israel was down there, and they were committing sinful things, weren't they? Worshiping the false idol, the God that they made, and all of that. But there's people around us that God will use. People to help us. People to encourage us. We know that. We said that. But as we see here, lastly, God desires for us to be renewed and rise up. Now go with me to Isaiah 40 real quick, and we'll close and end here. If you will, turn over there with me. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, a wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture that I'm sure you've read many times. But Isaiah 40, and notice verse 31. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that, notice, wait upon the Lord. That's what Moses said, remember? Stand still, fear not, and see the salvation. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There's a promise to the individual who's patient in the will of God and who trusts God in the midst of whatever they're going through. On what side of the sea are you on today? If you're on this side of it, you ought to be patient, waiting, and trusting. Boy, that's easy to say, isn't it? Hard to do. But if you're on this side singing a song, sing a song and praise God and let other people see that. But be prepared because there's more coming and trusting Him. And trusting Him. Notice the renewing. We need recharging every day. We need a renewing, if you will, to renew us. The people, you know, are renewed. We need to rise up. Notice that. They shall mount up. Waiting on the Lord, you'll find that you don't have to maybe flap your wings as often. You don't have to work as hard as other people that are spinning their wheels outside of the will of God. We renew, we rise, we notice, run. They'll run. Sometimes in life we have periods where we run. Other times we have periods where we're at a walking pace. And God knows the balance of that. But He says you must trust Him, again, as the nation of Israel. There were times that they had to run. There was times that they had to run and flee from Pharaoh's army. There was other times when they had to wait and sit. Well, where are we going to get water from? What are we going to do now? And God knows where you are and what to do, but notice the running, the resting, the rising, the renewing. Many words we could use here. So we see that God's desire, again, as I could say in conclusion, for your growth, for your development. What side are you on today? Are you facing challenges, battles, and turmoil in your life? Maybe something else? Maybe something much deeper than that. We have friends and other people right now battling health problems and not sure if their spouse is going to live another day or whatever the case would be. Are you trusting God? I'm speaking primarily, as you know, to believers today. Are you trusting Him? Saying, God, I desire on whatever side it is to bring glory to your name. I desire to let people see the power of God in my life and through my life for your honor and for your glory. We need to attempt great things for God. But we must trust Him. You know that. Trust Him. I like the story just concluding here. A young boy, his apartment building caught on fire. And he was stuck out the window and he was yelling down to the firefighters, you know, help me, get me out of here, I can't breathe. The smoke and flames engulfed the building. He was pleading with them to help and they kept saying, go ahead and jump out, we'll catch you, we'll catch you. We'll take care of you, don't worry. And he was scared, he wouldn't do it. And finally he heard his father's voice at the bottom. He said, son, it's me. Go ahead and jump. He says, but I can't see you, Daddy. I can't see you. I'm scared. I can't see anything. The smoke is burning my eyes. I don't know where to. He says, jump. He says, son, it's okay. You can't see me, but I can see you. Jump. I got you. Isn't that our Father, our Lord? Go ahead and jump. Lord, there's a sea in front of me. The Pharaoh's army behind me. I'm broke. I don't have anything. What are we going to do tomorrow? We can't. For whatever case you're in, pay our bills, or we're facing a physical ailment and the doctor came back with bad news, or we've lost a lot, whatever it is. And God says, take a step forward. But Lord, we can't. I can see you. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. God says, take a step forward. I see you. I know where you are. I know what you can handle, Tim. I know what you can do. And I want to see you step out by faith, but it takes a step of faith. That little boy was scared to death to jump out of whatever story he was on, third, fourth story. I wouldn't have done that. He was scared to death, but he took a step of faith and did it, didn't he? Trusting that his Father knew best and knows what's best for us. If you're walking in the will of God today, you can trust the Lord and believe that He's in control, has your best interests in mind for your life. Amen? And we know that. Okay, Lord, thank you for a time this morning again to share your word, to preach your word. I pray that something said was a blessing. Father, it's so easy to say these things, so easy to preach sometimes some of these, but Father, to live them and apply them tomorrow morning, even today, this afternoon, is going to be difficult. Strengthen us, Father, as we're called to take a step of faith. Lord, we trust you that you have our best interests in mind. You know where we are. You know how much we can handle. And Father, we love you and thank you for that. But Lord, give us the strength as we're fallible. We, Lord, are not strong at times to go ahead and go forward anyways, trusting you. We love and thank you for a great example given to us in the nation of Israel and with your wonderful saint, Moses, and seeing all that God they went through for our edification and for our help and our learning. We love you. Bless us now. Protect us today as we go our way, Lord. In Jesus' name again, and amen. Amen.